Welcome to Mike McCarthy Unplugged, and if we're good boys, uncensored, Mike. And the other day this week, you said, and the people who listen to this, I mean, they die green and gold. They're diehard Packer fans. And so I think it was welcome news. You said this team is closer than people think. Could you kind of detail that and tell us why you're saying that?
Well, you have to trust what you see every day. And if you're in the meetings and, you know, the accountability is very high. But the things that have gone wrong are all things that we can control and we can correct. So, I feel strongly that with another good week of preparation, you know, our padded practice yesterday was very good. And we need to have the same thing Saturday before we get on the plane to Minnesota. So, we understand what's going on in the past. We're tired of talking about the past. But this team is really looking forward to this next challenge. So I'm very confident our preparation will carry us to victory in Minnesota.
Mike, you also said this past week that you spent more time with the offense. Could you talk about that a little bit?
Well, you know, I try to do as much as I can in this new role, be as many places as I possibly can. And so, you know, I've been at special teams as much this week, and very, very little on defense, but I was able just to go through the offensive game plan meetings pretty much the whole way through with the offensive staff. So just checks and balances, that's really a big part of my focus and input, and stretching the boundaries a little bit and make sure we're looking at things. But the real focus for me is always bringing it back to who we are, and let's not get too far away from that.
Did the phrase "less volume, more creativity" get used this past week?
It's a big sign, a big magnet sign in every assistant coach's office. So it's a constant focus of our operation.
Mike, you mentioned practice, a subject near and dear to every coach's heart, and that it was good this week. You practiced indoors for a second straight week on the big practice day on Thursday. Nothing happens by accident. You don't wake up in the morning and say, "What the heck? Let's just go inside." Was that strictly a weather deal, or is there a reason you went inside?
Well, at the start of the week, I wanted to be inside at least one day just to be on the field turf. I would have preferred maybe to have been, just Wednesday and then get out Thursday, because I just believe in practicing outdoors, especially in the elements, as long as you can. It's something we weren't able to do in the early years, but, we go out every opportunity we can, but wind is the biggest deterrent to me to performance. I don't ever worry about rain. I don't ever worry about snow. But with the wind can affect you from having a quality practice. So it was more about the wind and the fact that we are going to be on the field turf. But the goal is definitely to get out tomorrow before we get on the plane. But I think there's a storm coming in, huh?
I have no idea. I'm the most uninformed interviewer in the history of the planet. Oh, okay.
You gotta love it, Green Bay. Huh? You get these big winter storms that come rolling in, and they miss you, and they go south. It's the only place in America that I think you can say that. Oops, it went south.
Hey, Mike, talking about now, you mentioned that you prefer outside and everything, but let me just throw something out there and tell me it's all a bunch of crap. Is that when you go inside, footing's good and stuff, and it helps the tempo. It's fast, the sound of the noise. It creates an atmosphere that I think it's hard to duplicate outside, and I think it makes for good practices.
It does. You just got to keep your foot on the gas because I think there's a natural reaction when you go inside. This is easier. But the fact of the matter is you practice faster on the field turf. It's just it's a faster surface. So the music's better. So I think that's the players that helps them too. But yeah, so we're fortunate. We have really good indoor practice facility. But at the end of the day, the lower the risk. This game's supposed to be made to be played on grass, and I think that the more you can get out there on the grass, even if we're playing the field turf team, like we are this week, if I could get out on the grass, two of the three practices, I feel pretty good about it because I still think that's the best way to practice.
Mike, in just observing practice, it wasn't just, it looked like the guys were detailing their work. and they were doing it fast. I mean, you guys were practicing fast. And I thought it was the best Eddie Lacy's looked in a while.
Eddie looks good. I think he's had a good 2 days, Wednesday and Thursday. He was definitely struggling last week. So it looks like he's going to bounce back. So, yeah, this could be a big opportunity for Eddie. You know, I'd love to run James and Eddie all day at this defense.
Mike, it's something I've wondered about ever since you came here. When you practice red zone, okay, conventional wisdom, red zone inside the 20. When you practice red zone, you start at the 25. Can you explain that? It's been one of the big mysteries of my life.
It's technically the gold zone. So, but you know, if you really want to get technical, you know, most defenses don't consider the actual red zone to probably somewhere between the 15 and 10 yard line. You know, a majority of them play what I refer to as time clock defense. You know, probably from about the 30, 35 yard line to about the 20, 25. So, with that, there is a change from the normal down distance, because you know people are trying to knock you out of the field goal range, and so there's different scenarios. So that we just kind of lump it all as the red zone and refer to it as the high red zone, which is really kind of on the fringe, you know, the fringe plays, which is why we start at the 25. But you know, every year you're looking at, or every game you're looking at chart, and know a defensive coordinator's history, you know, where Mike Zimmer might not start his actual red zone defense till the 12 yard line. So those are kind of things that you focus on, and that's all. It's all done within that red zone drill.
Mike, you mentioned Mike Zimmer, and it's clear from your comments this past week, you have a lot of respect for him as a coach. And not that you don't respect all of your opposing head coaches, but you can see you really respect the guy. When you're facing a guy like that, there's a little extra something-something as far as the competition and so forth. Do you get a little extra juiced up when you're facing a guy like that?
Well, I think just because of my personal life, the way it is, you know, with all the kids and everything, I really don't know Mike very well on a personal level outside of, you know, coaching and so forth. But I've always enjoyed competing against him because, you know, frankly, I like the way his teams play. I think he's definitely changed the culture in Minnesota. I think it was clearly evident last year. And when he's been a defensive coordinator, and I've been a defensive coordinator, you know, there's always an aggressiveness to the way his defense was played. So I've always enjoyed competing against him, and I respect the way he coaches because, you know, good coaches can coach at different NFL clubs, and you see it the same pattern. I think that's an excellent reflection of a good coach, and I think Mike Zimmer is definitely an excellent coach.
Mike, huge weekend in Wisconsin, not only because you guys are playing the Minnesota Vikings, but because it's the opening of the gun deer season.
Oh.
Now, have you ever hunted deer with a gun, or have you ever hunted?
Yes. No, I have, but I thought you were going to talk about the high school championship football games. I mean, we got the Notre Dame Tritons up here at 10 o'clock. We got to hurry up and get this press conference done. But that's
I wondered why we were doing it a little early today. I know. You want to watch my TV?
Going for the title today. But, yes, hunting season, you know, players are able to keep their hunting seasons alive because they have Tuesdays off. I don't know too many coaches that are able to sneak out in the woods, you know, during the season. I've done some hunting on private land at the I don't want to get in trouble here, kind of after the season was over. There are a couple
that's
tags.
That's legal.
A couple tags. Is it still going on?
Okay. Well, it's private land, huh?
Yeah, exactly. As long as you have a couple tags left. So, yes, no, I'll tell you what, there's nothing more relaxing sitting in a deer stand or sitting out there all day. As long as the wind's not blowing too bad. But, yeah, I find it very relaxing and the, you know, just the sport of it. What a beautiful animal. I mean, obviously appreciate, you know, just the way they run and move and so forth. But, you know, it's something I've done probably a half dozen times.
Now, you mentioned hunting on private land. And one time there was a guy that had a private land. He invited the Packers back in my day, the dark days, and they invited for pheasant hunting.
And
I'm going to get to the point. It's like when I drove up, I'd never been there before. When I drove up, one of the guys has got a pheasant in his hands. and there's like a firing squad across the way. He actually caught a pheasant, one of the pheasants that were supposed to be on, and threw it up in the air, and boom, 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 boom. And I'm wondering, these deer you hunted on private land, were they actually more like dogs, or were they real deer?
No, this is real, man. I mean, this is, you know, we were sitting around a 200-acre, about 20 acres. Yeah, about 20 acres of, no, it's 200 acres. No, 20 acres of corn. That's a big corn field. You know,
so
make,
it's make real
sure
hard.
I had plenty to eat. Yeah, and then you just make sure you got there the right time in the morning, the right time in the afternoon, and good things happen. But, you know, my first pheasant hunt, and you just made me think of a story. My first pheasant hunt trip, I was in Fort Hays State University, and a group of friends, we went to Beloit, Kansas for the opening of pheasant season, and that was unbelievable. I mean, everybody comes into town. You know, it's a farm community. And, you know, I was with a couple buddies, and our one buddy was from Beloit. And so we go out, it starts Saturday morning, we go out Friday night, and he takes us to a wedding. And he says, we were like, well, whose wedding is it? He says, I don't know. I think she, you know, she's graduated about 10 years behind me in high school. He said, sorry. So we go to this wedding, and we're at this reception, and dance and having fun, and you get up the next one. It was, you know, damnest thing I ever been through to go to a wedding you didn't know anybody at. But, so I guess I was a wedding crasher for one night. But so we get up the next morning, we're, you know, going on this big hunt, and you know, there's like 20 guys lined up, and they got the, what do you call the blockers at the end of the, you know, because it's big quarter of land. I mean, and you're going to walk. And so they were talking before, and here's three gentlemen had, you know, beautiful, beautiful labs hunting dogs. And so they, one guy says, hey, how often have you pheasant hunt? I said, man, this is the first time. I'm excited. He goes, okay. He says, hey, okay, we're going to put you at the end here. You know, you're going to walk at the end. He says, now, if you shoot one of the dogs, he said, I'm going to shoot you. So that's what I learned real fast, that you the value of the dogs. But, boy, we hunted all day. It was fun. They, you know, walked, and right where you got to the end where they were blocking them, man, it was like the 4th of July. It's incredible.
Unsung hero this week. Do you got one for me?
Unsung hero. Gosh, we have so many. I'm going to go with Tim Odey.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You're at practice every day. He's one of our equipment managers, and he's been here forever. And you talk about, you know, temperament and structure, and just a young man that just loves his job. And, you know, he's a great example of all the quality of people that we have working here at the Packers, and just the way he just brings such energy and structure to our practice, and, you know, makes my job a lot easier. But you talk about a man that has pride in what he does each and every day. So and he's a hell of a golfer too. So I don't know.
Is he really?
Oh yeah, he'll blow your doors off. Don't ever bet with him on a golf course. You'll be in trouble. So Tim Odey, thank you for all that you do for the Green Bay Packers.
Tell you what, Tim is one of those guys that makes the Packers, isn't
Absolutely.
He? Yeah.
I mean, you want a picture of what it's all about, and having pride in your job, and bringing that same energy each and every day. That's Tim Odey.
Since we're kind of in the neighborhood, a guy I noticed at yesterday's practice, on the practice squad, doing a hell of a job giving a picture, John Crockett, the running back, does he do a good job for you on the practice squad?
He's got a lot to learn. I mean, he works hard, but I love his energy. Love his energy, and you know, he's got a lot of good football in front of him.
Okay, let's go back to the game and a final thought on it. You feel good about preparation. Feel good about where the team's at, and ready to get over there.
Definitely. I mean, we got to get off the field on defense. You know, Adrian Peterson, it's going to be a, you know, 20-25 type carry game, and he's going to have his opportunities. We just can't, we will not allow the big run. That's the mindset that we have. And just, you know, the pursuit is always the best defense. So obviously gap integrity, getting off blocks and so forth. But, you know, that's a big focus for us. And, you know, keeping Teddy Bridgewater in the huddle, I think his huddle command has been very impressive. You can see he's definitely made a jump from year one to year two. North Turner really challenges you schematically with the different personnel groupings and concepts and rolling in the formation variations. So our offense, we got to make sure we take advantage of the possessions. If you look at the game last year, I think that's the kind of game they'd like to play again this year, keeping the possessions down, You know, so that goes back to us, you know, obviously stopping the run, getting off the field on defense, and we got to make sure that we, you know, we're moving the football and you know, we hit our big play opportunities and to just stay the course and, you know, handle the energy that they're going to have at home. And I think the special team is going to be just a flat knockdown dragout. I can't wait to watch our guys go against theirs because I think both units are playing well. You know, we've given up some plays the last 2 weeks, but I think that's going to be a hell of a contest. They're disciplined. They have a big-time returner, and I think with this weather, there's going to be some return opportunities. So both coverage units will definitely be on point.
Mike, thank you. Let's go get them.
Let's go get them. All right, Larry. Thank you.